Hey devs, you're tuning into the Debug Log Number 7. So, this episode's a real hoot. We get to snag an interview with an inside man at Unity Technologies. That's Unity evangelist Mark Schonagle. We get to sit down with Mark and talk about all things community development. We discuss his role as a Unity evangelist and how you can start building community around your game, project, or product. And finally, Mark shares with us some of his favorite tips and tricks when developing for and on the Unity game engine. Outside of that, we get a little fancy with Game of the Week this week in that Mark explains to us one of his favorite games made in Unity. We had a lot of fun with this episode and we had an absolute blast talking with Mark. We really, really hope you enjoy it. So, without further ado, this is the Debug Log, Episode 7.
Do we need to record?
No. I'm recording already.
Eduardo, you're silly.
Just in case.
You do have headphones on.
Yeah, you gotta do is headphones.
That's all you gotta
do. I was listening to that VR episode, and Eduardo was, like, confused, like twice. He was like, wait, you're talking about the Oculus? What are you guys talking about? I'm like, Eduardo, oh, yeah. You got
sometimes you speak too fast.
Oh, you did that in that one. I was like,
are we not from Cuba, remember?
Oh, yeah. He's out from Cuba, remember?
You're listening to The Debug Log, a podcast about Unity game development. My name's Andrew Curry.
I'm Obino Opara.
I'm Zach Schneider.
I'm Eduardo Castillo Fernandez.
And today we have a very special guest. We actually have finally got somebody from the mothership from Unity. Today we have Mark Schonagle on the show with us, and he's a Unity evangelist. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, we were very, like Avina mentioned before offline, we were super excited to have you on today. And we had some questions. We talked to people and we reached out and got some questions from the audience. And one of the first questions is, like, what does a Unity evangelist do? I mean, it sounds like an awesome job, but what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
What do I do on a day-to-day basis? It's a great job if you have ADD, I'll tell you that, because it's constantly
Zach?
Yeah. Taking notes now.
Yeah, I've had this weird title of a job for like 20 years. I can't think of anything else I would rather do. So the responsibilities of an evangelist is to basically, you know, like promote the software, but not with really like a sales angle, with more of a, you know, a deep understanding of the technology, the community, the software, you know, everything about it. And just to be able to go to studios. I almost said students, but that's a big part too. Visit a lot of schools, a lot of studios, trade shows, conventions. It's presentations, it's workshops, it's you know, just going to a customer and visiting them, seeing how they're doing, take them out for lunch, take them out for dinner, take them out for a beer, whatever. It's a crazy, crazy amount of traveling, so you really kind of have to enjoy that aspect of it, which I do.
How many places have you gone? Rough estimate. I know it's a blur at this point.
Well, so I've been at Unity about a year and a half, and I've probably been on the road about 300 of those days, maybe 350. I cover most of the Americas. So I'll do South America, Central America, and obviously North America. And then every once in a while, 2-3 times a year, something international comes up, whether it be a Unite. In a few weeks, I'm going to Amsterdam to kind of help out our European team to just show them how we do road shows. Just kind of, you know, cross-pollinate or whatever you want to call that. Just mingle with those guys. Get to know them a bit better. You know, it never ends. It's the greatest job, but sometimes it's the most exhausting job in the world, because you'll do a workshop all day, which is, you know, an 8-hour day, and then you get to the hotel or you get on the plane and there's 15 people that have emailed you that day and they all want to be answered back, and then the next day you're, you know, going somewhere else. And so I guess I'm winding this up with, it's my excuse as to why I'm so terrible at getting back to email sometime. it's overwhelming.
Yeah,
it's another part of it. I try my best, but it's a phenomenal job. It's really cool.
Yeah, I imagine the travel. I mean, I just got about out of town from out of town this weekend and just traveling in general, even for fun reasons, it can be tiring. But I bet you get a little energized when you show up to the workshops every week and these eager people are waiting to, you know, get to show them cool stuff. Yeah.
It's like you were just saying, you know, 5 minutes ago, oh, we're really excited to have Mark on here. And I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, oh, I'm so overrated.
No, it's the, no, just this- you really have a great part in building the community for Unity in this case.
Yeah, it's an awesome responsibility that none of that's ever lost on me. There's every city I go, the thing that's, you know, the greatest about Unity is everywhere I go, it's there's just this crazy passion. Everyone loves the software. My previous gig towards the end there, it got a little bit negative where, you know, there's a lot of, well, we'll talk about that later maybe, but it's just amazing. The community, you know, all these passionate artists and programmers and animators, making games, and, you know, they all want to touch Unity. They all want part of Unity. So it's really great to be that conduit. It's it's excellent.
Very cool. Now, so it sounds like it sounds like you've been, you said you was at Unity for a year or so. I'm curious, like, how did you get into, you know, this evangelist role at Unity? Where, like, what brought you to Unity?
That's a good question.
So, yeah, a little background.
I've only really had two professional. Well, I guess that's not true. But my previous job I held for 19 years and 10 months.
Wow!
That's crazy.
That's commitment. Yeah,
that's more than half my. No, that's right around half my life. So It used to be more than that. Well, whatever.
We get older. Don't worry.
Yes, we get older, and somehow the division stops working.
As we get older, the math stops working. Then we can't even keep track anymore.
Hey, I'm twice as old as... Oh, no, I'm just old.
Yeah.
My previous gig was the evangelist for a product called Softimage. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that one. It's basically Max and Maya. It was that.
Cool.
So Autodesk bought that. When I first started with Softimage, that was 20 years ago. Soft had just finished doing Terminator 2. Jurassic Park was being worked on. That was all Softimage. The three newer... not so good Star Wars movies, that was all Star Wars. Jar Jar Binks was Star Wars, unfortunately. And then even Jar Jar Binks was Softimage. That's Star Wars. Yeah.
So that's why you left, right? Just kidding.
No,
just
kidding. And today's actually an ironic day for all this to happen, which I'll get to in a sec. But the last great movie Soft did was the brand new Lego movie that just came out.
Oh, cool.
In Elysium, which had like 3 trillion polygons in certain certain scenes. And I don't know, like 5-6 years ago, Autodesk bought us from our struggling parent, and unfortunately they killed the product. So kind of a bummer. Still the most widely used animation product in Japan. Whatever. A little politics involved, which I don't want to talk too much about. But anyways, after almost 20 years, I kind of got the boot from Soft because I don't particularly like Maya or Max all that much. So you can't really have an evangelist who doesn't like their product. They're right. Evangelized.
So, that goes against the purpose of the job,
anyway,
I imagine.
It was a great story. Two days after I got the note, I went to visit Carl. I don't know if you guys know Carl Callowert. He's the global... leader of the evangelist here at Unity. I've known him for years.
You must have seen him at Unite, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you had to. Yeah. He's like a jolly Belgium, thick accent.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, Carl's the best. So, shoot, it was literally like 2 days after I just got, you know, lost my job of 20 years thinking, woe is me, what am I going to do? I can do two things well, Softimage and demonstrate it, and neither of those are really jobs anymore. So anyway, I visited Carl at a workshop, and he just stopped what he was doing, threw everything on the ground, comes running over to me. He's like, Mark, why don't you come work for Unity? Oh, okay. So I came to work for Unity. I got exposed to it about 2 years prior. We did a little retreat at Autodesk and just took a little 2 day shop, or I guess it was a 1 day shop on Unity. And very rarely were me or my teammates really impressed with software so much. I mean, we go to all the trade shows, 4, 5, 6 trade shows a year. You really kind of get, I don't want to say jaded, but you lose that wow factor when you don't go for a few years, and suddenly we've gone from, you know, SD televisions to 4K, you know, that's like a crazy transition. But if you see it, you know, roll progressively, it's not quite so wowing anymore. But we were all just blown away by Unity and how fast we were able to make this first-person shooter. And so I actually kept dabbling in it, even even after Corey Johnson, who's still with us, taught us that class. And I would, my brother's an architect, so I would take some of his rendering, some of his AutoCAD models, rather, and pop them into Unity and make walkthroughs and then virtual reality walkthroughs. And I just couldn't believe how easy this piece of software was to do, you know, what it does. So, geez, when the opportunity came on board, it was, for me, it couldn't have been a natural progression. It's, you know, it'd be like being the Maya guy, the Maya evangelist comes to Unity. You know, you just kind of know the industry, you know a lot of the people. So, yeah, couldn't have worked out any better.
Gotcha. That's why I love asking that background question. There's, like, so much that you don't know about a person, and then you're like, oh, man, I can't believe he worked for this company that was bought out by Autodesk and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, to move it along, I guess, you know, one, I'm sure our listeners are at the edge of their seats, like how can I, you know, market my game or get my game or get my, you know, product out there? And, you know, I'm sure, you know, coming from someone who's like a Unity evangelist, there's so much, there's a gold mine of information that you have, you know, just waiting for them to hear. So that's what, you know, that's what, I guess our next question is just, you know, what can indie developer do or studios do to build an audience for their game? I guess, you know, even, you know, from, I guess, even in early on stages, like, are there steps they need to be taken now? Is there a certain, you know, I guess, regimen that you follow when you know, you're starting to, you know, push a certain aspect of the engine? Because I know Unity has, like, you know, I guess there's different phases to, I guess, evangelizing some product or some, you know, software. You know, you have, like, you know, this is a pre-launch or this is, you know, a specific aspect of the engine that you're really trying to push. So is there, like, what kind of regimen do you follow when you're doing that stuff that you can, like, I guess, touch on and explain your, I guess, your process?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Unity isn't quite so different, or Softimage, my previous products, quite so different than a video game. You know, you're developing it. Now you got to get it out there and promote it. There's a lot of promotion that happens before the product is released, and then there is, you know, once it is released, then there's, you know, further evangelizing it, going, spreading the word, getting people to use it. You know, it's a little bit different because as a game engine or as a content creation package, you know, it's got a much longer lifespan, unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever you, however you want to look at it, than a video game does, right? Generally, your game ships, and there's a small window, especially on the mobile side, to recoup that money or to get, you know, to get it exposed and everything. So it's a little bit different. Actually, it's, you know, it's a lot different in that aspect. As you're asking the question, I had this goofy smile on my face because I was just going to answer social media, which is such a terrible answer. But
to the internet. I mean,
yeah, the internet. The interweb. www. Do yeah. Something. You know, I mean, that is super important. So I'm not going to talk too much about that. But yeah, I mean, you know, promote it as much as you can. But I think one thing that a lot of people don't do is they don't promote their game until it's finished or it's already shipping. You know, promote it early. Kind of, you know, as soon as you have something that's good looking, promote it. You know, get it out there. Start making screenshots. Start making trailers for it. You know, most film trailers and most game trailers you see, those things aren't anywhere near finished products. You know, they're a lot of the game trailers you see are actually rendered. They're not even in engine, you know, just to get people excited. You only have that really small window, you know, once you launch your game to keep it hyped up. And if you can build up a lot of that hype before you can actually get the game, shoot, that's even better, right? Because now people are thinking about it. It's on people's brains. And then when it finally does come out, you know, put a level out, put a couple levels out, a little demo level. I've never seen a case where a couple levels have come out, unless the game's really poor, but then you should be doing it anyway. But, you know, or you put a game out and it hasn't made you go, okay, you know, maybe I want to check that out, or at least planted some kind of a seed in your brain as to what, you know, what that game's going to be about and whether or not you want it. But really just, you know, make sure you start marketing that thing early. Use a lot of Unity services. EveryPlay is a great service. If you don't know what EveryPlay is, if you've ever played a Unity game, and at the end of it, a mobile game on iOS or Android, and it comes to the end and says, do you want to share this replay or do you want to watch a replay? That's EveryPlay. Most likely that's our EveryPlay service, which it's just an API, a couple lines of code. starts the recording the screen, stops it, pushes it to the EveryPlay servers, and then you can then easily spread that video out either, you know, through, again, social media. But there is direct integration for Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. So, you know, shoot, you kill the boss, crazy cool graphics, maybe it's an awesome fight. You promote that on your video, on your Facebook page. Someone sees it, they download the game. Hopefully your thing goes viral and you got the next Crossy Roads or something like that, you know?
Yeah,
that's last week we were talking about Bad Piggies, which uses yes. EveryPlay.
I think both of those things you talked about, like actually getting it out before it's ready, and EveryPlay once it's out, both of those things, what they really are about is like communities. I mean, I think people try to, like, we're going to sell our game, but what they don't realize is they need to build a community of fans. And early on, yes. they can do that by sharing. And we're seeing that a lot, you know, like Double Fine out in San Francisco, they do stuff like that. If you share that, the development process in a way, you know, you open the doors to show them. It's like, and I think people are reticent to do that a lot of times because they're so like, oh, well, it looks crappy. It's no people are going to like this. But, you know, seeing that, you know, it's like the, what is it, the Google, it's like you've waited, you know, if you're not embarrassed of your first release, you waited too long or whatever.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like if you get doing stuff like that early on, I think, and then I obviously once it's out, you build a community around videos and people sharing content. But early on, just sharing any bits of information you can into like the behind the scenes stuff, I think can really help to build a community, which is really important.
Now, on that note, Andrew's talking about releasing stuff early, and Mark, you said, something about releasing maybe a few levels. Now, how do you feel about like alphas and pre-releases?
Those are only good if your gameplay is still solid, in my opinion. If you've got crap gameplay because it's an alpha, that's just going to leave a bad taste in someone's mouth. You know, I'd rather them have a good gameplay experience where maybe the graphics aren't polished or the sound effects or you know, it crashes. That's, in my opinion, a bit more acceptable than playing a game and my first thoughts are, this is stupid, and I'm not gonna ever play it again. You know, you kind of turn your brain off to it pretty quick. That's just me. You know, whatever you release, make sure it's worthy of your vision. Maybe that's a good way of saying it.
Yeah, Mark, so maybe like have the good core game mechanics down.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you want people to, no matter how short the experience is, you want it to be a good experience, not a frustrating bad experience.
Yeah, and I guess you could even change it. I mean, Rust, which is a Unity game, they're you know, they're early access on Steam and they made so much money, they've even rewritten the entire thing now. You know, up to, you know, they upgraded it to Unity 5. But
I guess, you know, like somewhat contradictory to what I just said, part of it is how big is your team? What's the ambition? What's the goal and the scope of the project? You know, if it's one or two people, you know, you just don't have the resources to do everything you want the game to be. You know, that's a little different story than when you've got a group of people working and there's definitely a timeline, and, you know, putting it on Kickstarter or putting it on Steam with early access is appropriate. You know, some games work that way, some games don't. You know, for sure, that absolutely some games work like that and some don't. So I guess it's a case by case thing too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and Mark, this is for pre-release, but what would you recommend after the game was launched to promote it?
Oh geez. You know, that's an endless thing. You know, you hope it goes viral. That's everyone's dream, right? That's a little hard to do. But as a single individual developer, you know, just go out there, try to go, you know, even things like user groups and going to, I see it a lot on the VR side, going to meetups, going to conventions where you can show it off. All that stuff is invaluable. You know, there's a lot of people out there who will see it. You know, obviously use things like I mentioned, like EveryPlay to get people to see it afterwards. But, you know, there's so many things you can do. You can write posts in forums. You know, if you're just a small little guy, you know, with no marketing budget, no advertising budget, there's a lot of things you can do, you know, just kind of guerrilla style. And if you got marketing budgets, you know, it's crazy how well advertisements work. But you look at Game of Thrones or whatever it is, and obviously they're making bank because of all the ads that are out there. So, you know, if you have advertisement budget, that works. If you don't, you know, all the there's a lot of guerrilla tricks out there you can find on the internet. Just have at it.
And what would you recommend to larger studios that can actually spend money in advertising and events, things like that?
Yeah, larger studios, you know, have an advantage for the most part. Maybe they have a little disadvantage too because there's a lot of pressure on them. But you know, they have the advantage of having professional marketing people. People who, you know, have access to all type of metrics and know how to promote the software, how to promote the game, where to promote it. And, you know, you have a big advertisement budget. If you got an advertisement budget, people are going to see your games, you know. It's just going to be in your face, whether it be a little banner ad at the bottom of the game, whether it be a full video ad like Unity ads are. Somehow or another, when you're that large studio, you get the game. I mean, I don't know how many games I've bought by a big studio that have been garbage just because all the ads and all the marketing pushed me to it. So
exactly.
You know, we all know what those clever marketing people can do. Yeah. As the indie though, it's a little bit more difficult. But, you know, I mean, the indie guys come up with a lot of good tricks too, like, you know, free to play and freemium and all that kind of stuff.
Very cool. I'm interested. I know you've been at Unity for a year and so. So I'm curious, like, what kind of innovative or would you consider like innovative things has Unity's like marketing team, promotion team, evangelist team done to like really get Unity out there? I know you guys are starting to, it feels like you guys are starting to really push towards the VR market, you know, with the Samsung VR or the Gear VR. And, you know, there's just a lot that you guys, it seems like you're pushing in that direction. Like what innovative things, I know there's the roadshow that I guess you guys have introduced and started to push a lot. Are there other things and, you know, tips and tricks that you guys have done on the marketing side to really get Unity out there and really push you know, the VR and other aspects of Unity game development, even like with Unity 5, are there any new things that you've done besides, you know, the social marketing thing, besides the roadshows that you guys are really pushing to do?
So that's a great question. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but earlier when I was kind of describing what my role is, I'm not on the sales side of things, so I don't try to throw, you know, any kind of a sales slant on things, but in that also sense, I don't spend a lot of time, you know, listening to what our marketing people are saying. I'm probably going to get fired tomorrow. No, but it's more my job is to be a bit more on the technical side and to know the marketing stuff ahead of time so that it's not really even marketing anymore. Like, my job isn't to go out there and promote how pretty, you know, physical based rendering is. My job is to understand how it works and to go show it to people and explain how it works and how it's going to benefit them and make their games prettier. So a lot of that kind of stuff, like, yeah, I'll read what our marketing says and then I'll, you know, for the most part agree with it, but it's not stuff that I kind of digest and go, I'm going to go around and spread that word. So, you know, that's more for magazines, for website stuff, which just is a little bit out of my focus. I'm more, you know, get my hands a little dirty in the software, try to make something and show it to people. So what they do that's innovative, you know, I really don't know because I'm always on an airplane. They get to stay in an office.
I got
you. I'm always on an airplane. So, you know, I mean, to be completely fair, though, our marketing team is awesome. The you know, you go to like events like Unite, you go to GDC. I mean, I went to GDC this year, and I have not been so proud to walk up to a booth in probably 10 years.
Cool.
The booth was amazing. The vibe was amazing. The people, everything about it, you know. And that's all JC and the marketing team, at least on the North American side. And you know, on the road shows, you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's not groundbreaking or cutting edge, but, you know, as you mentioned, to do the road shows, it's just a lot of work. There's a lot of pre-work goes involved, securing the venues and getting all the catering and finding sponsors. And you know, if one thing is cutting edge about it, they're free. You know, we don't charge for them. There's, you know, we're talking maybe of putting a deposit down, because one thing that's a bit of a bummer is you have 100 people sign up for them and only 70 people show up, and you've got catering for, you know, 80 or 90, whatever. So just to try to make it so we don't have empty seats, you know, and then we have to put a sold out ticket on it. And so maybe someone who wanted to go couldn't go. So I think we're going to try it at least, is maybe charge $20 or something. And if you show up, you get your $20 back, just to encourage people to come. So I don't know if that's cutting edge or if that's just trying to do the best job we can, but yeah, you know, we do have some of the best swag, though. I'll tell you that. I haven't worked
with yeah, we have our little cubes from Unite last year on our desk.
It's exactly. Crazy, man. Every month I get a leather swag bag. Like, okay, Mark, deliver this stuff, bro.
Well, you can just forward those to us if you want. I'm not saying you have to. I mean, I'm just saying it's good if you want it.
We'd appreciate it.
No, that's just extra luggage for the plane ride.
extra promotion.
I usually don't mind bringing it. I just sort of forgot for Atlanta. I actually left it all in the hotel like a dummy, but oh well.
I have a question. You mentioned that your like main responsibility is to stay on the tech side. Coming from being an evangelist at Softimage, like, I mean, that stuff is way more application based. I mean, I guess there's mail scripting and some of the other stuff, but how has the transition been into? I imagine you do way more coding now doing demos than you used to. How has that transition been?
Well, first, mail code is Maya, and that's evil. Softimage had ICE, which was like this crazy, awesome, multi-threaded visual programming language that could just destroy anything I could ever write or most people could write scripts or code. So when I was at Soft, I was doing a lot of that visual coding. And then now at Unity, you know, my background, I told Carl when you know, we were talking about me coming aboard was, dude, I don't really code. I do visual coding. I have a computer science degree, but geez, I haven't compiled anything for probably 15 years. So there was a little bit of a coming up to speed with that. My Java is a lot better than my C#, but you know, I'm definitely trying to spend a couple hours on airplanes, you know, every flight, just trying to get my coding chops back. But you know what? It's not really that huge of a requirement. In the same sense where I don't know if I know any game developer who is an awesome programmer, an awesome 3D animator, an awesome texture artist, an awesome audio guy or gal, whatever. There, you know, when with Soft, it was a 3D animation package and a special effects package, and maybe you had two different disciplines there. But with Unity, there's two, three, four very, very, very distinct disciplines,
right.
And no one can know all those. So I don't have any problem in the world walking into a facility and going, hey, your animation sucks and I can help you out, but your code can't help you with that. Let me call Corey or Randy or you know, some of our field guys and have them take a look at the code. You know, those guys that write pixel shaders and engines and all that stuff at my disposal. So
yeah, let me call the guys that wrote the engine and I will get back to you.
Exactly.
Now you've mentioned like these different aspects of the engine, and I was wondering, like, based on your experience of teaching all these people at these road shows and different Unity events, what aspect or feature of Unity do you think is the toughest for beginners to catch?
With the current road show, the finger gymnastics that the Snap to Vertice tool has seems to be an epic fail because no one can do it, and sadly it's step one. So that is just, I don't know what that is. A lot of people just don't have mice or aren't good with their trackpads, whatever. But as far as like a real feature or a part of the software, I think Mechanim can sometimes give people a little bit of an issue, the state machine, especially if they're not familiar with one. Once you go through it a couple times, you know, in me coming from not having ever used, you know, we had a state machine in Softimage too, but not having used the one in Unity, I had to learn it too. And I remember when Carl saw me show it the first time, he was like, damn, dude, that's a much better way of explaining it than what he does. And it was just because he was used to it and didn't really have to work out a way of telling your brain how this thing's working, where I had to figure all that out. And then so for me to convey that was a lot easier. So I find that one's a bit challenging for some people. You know, the road shows, though, for the most part, we try to keep them fairly basic, but with enough good stuff for even advanced people that most of the comments that I get from advanced users at the end of it is, hey, this is great. I still learned something, and, you know, thanks. So,
I remember the Unity road show the last year. And you showed me one of the tricks that we include in the book log, which is the smoothness in the animations.
Yes.
That was really awesome. I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, it's you know, there's so many little things. Every time I watch a demo, I learn something, and every time someone watches or comes to a workshop, they learn something. Just going around answering people's questions, like I sometimes it's a little tough to think on your feet. Like here, you've got someone who's experiencing a problem. They know the software, you know, not so well. I know it pretty well, but I've never seen this error before, and you have to, you know, figure this out for them without looking stupid. But you know, you actually learn a lot by doing that. It's a constant problem solving day when we do these workshops. But then, you know, by the time I've done five or six of them, you know, shoot, you've pretty much seen every issue that can come up, know pretty much how to solve them, and then also add a lot more better, a lot, that's not even good English, then add a lot better feedback to the people you're teaching.
So, Mark, now that we talked about these trips, let's go to my favorite part, and I think it's the favorite part of the listeners too. Do you have any good practices or Unity trips, tips and tricks that you want to share with the listeners?
Oh, man.
Or some stuff that like has come up, like the ones that you've gotten the most response out of, you know, like this is the one they always react to.
I don't see a lot of people, not as many people use the profiler as they should. I don't know if it was because it was a pro feature before, but man, use the profiler. Like
Andrew's always yelling at me to use the profiler.
Yeah, he always like, I don't know why this is leaking memory. It's like, just, have you used the profile? It's like, no. I was like, do it.
Use the profile. That,
you forget about it sometimes.
That's the only way I found that issue with the scale form was using the profiler. You could see what function was leaking memory, which was so crazy. I was like, oh, you could find what function it is, when it's being called, how many times it's getting called. That was like, yeah, it's a great feature of Unity.
You know, a lot of people don't even know, like when you're doing, say, Gear VR development, while you have the headset on, you can, through Wi-Fi, you can stream the profiler information to the Unity editor and actually run the profiler wirelessly. It, you know, you can run it through USB or wirelessly. So
that's the Unity tips and trick.
There you go.
Honestly, 20 minutes to set up if you're not very good at setting up those kind of things, and 5 minutes if you are, it's pretty straightforward. So the profile is definitely there for a reason, and there was so much, you know, we were like, couldn't be any prouder when we made Unity free for everybody, and it was just things like that. Like you'd go to some, you know, indie guy who's struggling, and you just know, man, if you just had access to the profiler, you could just solve these problems straight away, you know. So collectively at Unity, we're very proud about the new pricing and it being free. So all those features. But anyway, back to tips and stuff. You know, probably the most basic one is tint your play mode. That's the one that's what I call Mark's tip of the day at the road shows.
Yeah, that's the one that you always recommend at the Unity road shows.
Yes, that's the, if you do one thing.
Well, they do it every day, so it worked.
I think as soon as Eduardo came back from that, he started tinting his play window, and then I started doing it, and I think it's migrated across the whole office. So
excellent. Well, shoot, there we go. Well, that's a good tip then.
You're affecting people, Mark. You're doing it.
Yes. Hooray! I'll have a beer later. Shoot, I don't know. You know, I mean, on a grander scale, a lot of people just never ever finish that game they made. You know what? Finish your game. Just finish one of them. Just do it. Amen. You know, dust off something that's oldie. Make sure, you know, always have one game that you're like, you know, I finished this one.
Yes,
I have a couple, and they're just good to know that, you know, that's it. That's all I'm doing on this, instead of just leaving them hanging with no audio or glitches or something. You know, you're the only the person who made the game people are the only ones that knew how hard it was. Right? I've seen some of the most lamest, sorry to say, saddest looking and playing games, but you look at that person, you know, shoot, man, they tried their all, and this is all they could do right now, and that's fine. You know, their next one's going to be that much better.
Well, you only get, I mean, we talked about this. This is going to be, you know, this is approaching our double digits of episodes, but on our zero, you know, array-based zero episode of this show, our first episode, that's one of the biggest tips we stressed. It's just finish something. Even if it's not, you're not going to release it, it's just going to be for friends, or if it's just going to be for you. Because you learn so much from that last 10%. Even if it sucks, you learn so much from, like, okay, I see why it sucks now, and I can redo something or start over or fix this one, but it's so important to finish something.
It doesn't matter what you're doing. Polishing sucks, but it's so rewarding. It's all done, you know?
Yeah, besides, so, game development is a discipline that you improve with iterations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you have to finish it to iterate, so.
Exactly.
Every once in a while when you forget play mode is in play and you don't have your play mode set tint on and you lose a couple hours worth of work, it's not so bad because you just generally...
It's iteration.
Do it better. It's forced iteration.
I always just say, that was practice, and now I'll do it for real.
That's exactly. Good. Cool. Shoot, I don't know. Other tips, I always tell people to target their platform. If you're making a game for an iPad, it may not be nearly as good on an iPhone or, you know, on a tablet. You know, all that stuff matters. Screen size, your platform matters, your... It's easy to adapt some games, like, you know, think of like Angry Birds or something, but then other games just don't adapt right. So always stick your target platform and branch off afterwards.
Yeah, and I will go a little bit further, and I would say to adjust the play window to a similar size of what do you think is going to look in a device.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Unity has that option to set the resolution of your play window, so that's something that everyone, or the game window, so you should definitely take advantage of that.
Well, that, it's also, if you're using the canvas, you can actually set the canvas not to like scale with your play window, but to stay at the set resolution.
Yeah, constant pixel size. Yeah. Yeah, we just compounded that tips and tricks.
Yeah, that was a tag team, guys.
There was a game. There was a car chase game I was playing. I can't believe I can't remember the name of it. I didn't like it on the iPhone. It was too small. But then as soon as I put it on the iPad, I'm like, ah, okay, now I can play this game. It's weird. Like even just setting your virtual space on your monitor, sometimes that doesn't really give you that feel of, you know, how heavy the device is. Is it kind of crimping my wrists, or, you know, how am I holding it? All that stuff is, very, very important, obviously.
Yeah.
So many platforms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Especially for developing for Android.
Platform and aspect ratios is a main problem with mobile devices.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. Do you have any other tips before we move on to Game of the Week that you'd like to, or just any kind of recommendations for developers getting into Unity?
You know, try Unity services. I really like, and this isn't trying to be salesy, I really like the Unity Ads model. I like, when I play Crossy Roads, I absolutely love the way they integrated their ad. The only time you had to watch an ad is if you wanted to gain a lot of coin really quick to unlock a character faster than if you just collected the coins in the game or however. And then you watch a little 15-second video clip of, you know, a Unity Ads ad. So it's always game relevant. It's not, what did I say the other day? Depends on garments.
Yeah.
You know, something completely unrelevant to your gaming experience and, you know, is annoying and intrusive. It's on the screen while you're, you know, playing. That stuff really bothers me, but I don't mind at all what the, sorry, my phone's ringing. So yeah, you know, it doesn't bother me so bad when there's a little small 10-15 second carrot and I get a nice reward for it, and you know, all those services are free. Like there's EveryPlay for watching stuff, there's Cloud Build, there's lots of free Cloud Build stuff, so you can, you know, do your building offline, not do it on your local machine. Advertisements are there for you. It's all, you know, one thing I really love about Unity, people were a fly on the wall, they would just be grinning, because when I walk around the offices and I hear, you know, people from John Rigatello, the CEO, on down, it's truly a love of the community and the passion behind it and making gamers successful. And we truly don't want to be successful till you guys are successful. And it shows in everything we do. And it's crazy cool to work for a company like that. Like, we know we're losing money on stuff, but it's okay because we want those people to be successful, and then when they're successful, we'll be more successful. You know, it's kind of this nice little kind of cyclical thing. So I guess you know, look at our services as things to help you. That's generally how we feel about them internally, for sure.
Yeah, that and that's the reason. I mean, this is now that we have somebody at Unity, we can express this. The reason we started this podcast is because of that same reason. Because we all went to, or Eduardo didn't go. He's going to go this year, but Zach, Obina, and I went to Unite last year in Seattle, and we were blown away with the community. How like from the you know from the people that work at Unity to the third party developers, all the way down to the people we just met, you know, at the cocktail party and the party and just at lunch every day. And that's why we kind of, at the time, we were, you know, we work for this company and we make health games, based, you know, health games for health in Unity. And we always have a hard time describing it. And then we also work on several different projects. You know, we're working on some tutorials for Unity now. We're also working on, you work on our own games. You know, like everybody has their own project going. But we were blown away with that community. And that's why we started this podcast, just to actually give back a little bit and start build, you know, some community. Because we talked to so many people out there who, I've never been to a conference before where a lot of people were just getting started and they just wanted to be involved, you know?
Right.
And it was neat. Yeah. And we realized, oh, cool, we should just start sharing. It makes you want to share, and it really engenders that kind of communication between everybody. So we thought that was pretty cool.
I genuinely love getting on an airplane and going to a user group. It's, you know, to be honest, the road shows are a little long. It's an 8-hour day and my brain is crushed at the end of them, but I still love doing them. They're the people that come up afterwards, the thank yous, the people seeing every, you know, people talking to other people than just myself, just, you know, networking, mingling, whatever you want to call it. And people stick around, you know, hour, 2 hours after sometime. We'll go out for drinks afterwards. It's awesome. Such a good community. So very, very
cool. That's one of the goals of our podcast, and I would say our movement to take the game development to a whole new level, to teach all those people that don't know how to develop a game with good practices, teach them how to do that using Unity.
That's great.
So
just a quick question. You guys went to Unite last year. Did you go to the awards ceremony?
Yeah, we did. That inspired us as well. He's like, oh no, we've got to make a game next year to submit. I mean we missed the submission date this year, but I mean that's one of our goals definitely for Unite, is to have a game that's in there, at least in the running, you know, to submit to the Unity awards show.
Well, I'm not sure how I got the MC job in that, but I don't know if you remember me telling my story. The bear, that was me.
Now you're blowing my mind because I didn't connect the name to the thing. That's awesome. Yeah,
exactly.
You did a great job. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was really funny.
So you're going to be in Boston this year, right?
Yes, I currently have the same duty again. Why don't we let Mark do the MC job? I don't want to do the MC job. Why am I doing the MC job? I'm just going to do something funny. I'm not a comedian. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. Just talk about something funny. Oh, man.
Yeah. That was hilarious. You did good. You had that great story about the bear is great.
Amazon delivered a 7.5-foot bear to my house. Otherwise, it would have nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, very that cool. Yeah, story. So we'll definitely say hi to you. We'll get together.
Yes, I will. I will be there again this year. So
Has Amazon delivered anything else to your house, or are you just waiting for?
Yeah, I think we have sort of a giant giraffe now. So.
I hope not. I want it all.
Yeah.
Maybe they sent you this time a giant rubber duck.
You know, I'm actually sitting looking at a river right now in the middle of Oregon, so I could use a giant rubber duck.
That's nice. That's a humble brag right there. That's pretty good. Well, before we go tonight, we also have the special segment we do every time on the Debug Log, and it's the game of the week.
Yes, we usually do like a falsetto
game of the week. Yeah,
you did it anyway.
I did it anyway. We're working on a fun bumper music.
We have company, so we shouldn't do it. But I guess that didn't.
Oh happen. No, I'm care. Into the falsettos.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we'll do. I think when we make our official game of the week, we'll send it to you, and you can add a layer of vocals to it with ours.
All right,
exactly.
So this week's a different game of the week, because usually we have shared games that we have played in Unity, and game of the week is really just to describe real quickly. It's about games that people haven't played, you know, that are Unity games. But sometimes it's about games that people have played a lot of, but they don't realize that it is in Unity. And this week, this game has been very successful. Right, Mark?
Yeah, that's funny, because for the first 6 weeks or at least 4 weeks that I played it, I had no idea it was Unity.
And you work for Unity. So
yes. And in fact, it was so bad, I was... again, I'm so fired after this. While I was playing it, I was telling myself, I wonder when Unity's going to be able to make a game like this. And that wasn't a slag on Unity in right. any sense of the word. It was, this game was so different than any Unity experience I've seen so far. I just didn't think, it just screamed custom engine to me.
You just haven't seen it done yet, yeah.
I hadn't seen it done, and to be honest, does everyone know what the game is at all?
Yeah, it's a better version of SimCity, right?
I don't think we've said the name of the game, which is City Skylines.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which this is an inside club. We don't need, you know.
Exactly. These guys find out later.
City Skylines.
Developed by
just basically SimCity on steroids, right?
Yeah, like... I've always been fascinated with these city building games before my long career at Softimage. It was I worked at a software etc. store in the mall.
Now we're going back now. This is good.
Huh? Yes, now we're going back. And SimCity, the very first one, came out for... Well, did it come out for the... No, I think I had it for the Commodore 64 before I worked there. I think it was the Amiga one that... Well, whatever. At some point in time, one came out... While I worked at Software, et cetera, and while I was in the store supposed to be working, I was busy building my city. I was just blown away by this whole idea of a city building game genre and have loved them ever since. Couldn't have been more through the moon when whatever that even means, when SimCity was, you know, coming out, and I was reading all the great stuff about the you know, it's going to have all this cloud stuff, and it's going to have this crazy navigator traffic system because of all the cloud-based assisted processing going on. It was all a bunch of BS, right? Like, you didn't even have to have your computer connected to the net. The cities were tiny. The traffic was terrible. The gameplay, you know, you'd turn your head for 2 seconds, and your city was in total chaos because an accident happened, and as a result, the nuclear reactor blew up. What? And that happened to me. That's what happened to my one city. Just total nuclear meltdown because of a traffic jam on a stupid 98 lane highway. So pretty disappointed with SimCity to say those. Very disappointed with SimCity. I see this game City Skylines on Steam. I'm like, wow, that's cool. It had great reviews, like 4.5 stars, I think. So I downloaded it. Oh my God. I kid you not. The first day I didn't sleep, 24 hours, playing it straight. Haven't done that with a game for a long, long time. And was just blown away by the detail, the quality of the graphics, the quality of the gameplay, the traffic system works, the just zooming in to seeing little tiny people going back and forth to work, then pulling the camera all the way out, and you know the sound effects change, you know, whether you're in macro mode or pulled out, and just the cities you can build. The city, like, I have too much room. My city is so stinking big. I have so much room that I can still expand. I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore. I've built everything. So you can just build a monstrosity, subways, and the best part, you can go on the Steam store and buy like different buildings. So there's like an In-N-Out Burger. So you just, they're all free. Like, I want an In-N-Out Burger. I want that ridiculous 18 lane intersection cloverleaf thing. And these are things that people have built in, you know, Blender, Max, Maya, Soft, whatever, put on the Steam store, and they're now just assets that pop into Skylines. It's phenomenal. It's the coolest game ever.
Yeah, it's cool.
One of them.
What blew my mind is that, like, all the one lane, you know, two lane, you know, one way streets. You can have like a four lane one way street, and like all this stuff integrates and actually like contributes to the traffic flow in your city.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Yep. And also, you can curve your streets so you don't have to have this grid pattern like most of the other what was that mobile sim game they had recently? You can have these cool, like, naturally looking cities.
Yeah, you can. Part of my city was all, you know, grid pattern, whatever. But then I got to a couple lakes and stuff. I decided to start making curves, and then I started getting all crazy. And now it's just Shangri-La of curves and bridges and tunnels and I guess not tunnels, but subways. And that's cool. It's a seven, from what I understand, seven people made that game. Is it seven or nine?
Just seven?
Seven or nine. There's a whole story about it on the Unity
and there's a great
website.
There's a great,
that's actually how I found out.
Well, I was saying there's a great thing in Unite Europe, part of the keynote this year. You guys
Yes.
The CEO came up, Marina, I can't pronounce her last name, but she was really, they kind of talked about the development of the game, and it was a really cool segment of the keynote.
Well, I'm hoping, I have no idea how the awards are going, but I hope to shake their hands and give them an award this year, because I think they totally deserve one. That's, cool.
Yeah.
You know, well, shoot, one thing I wanted to mention was, for those that don't know, the Unity roadmap, you mentioned the keynote, and that was something they unveiled at the keynote in Unite Europe, was the full Unity roadmap is out there now. So if you just do a Google for Unity roadmap, you'll know everything that I know. Like, I know no more secrets. They're all out.
Yeah.
As far as what's coming, what we're working on, I can't believe they shared it like that. Like, it is, I've seen the internal roadmap, I've seen the external roadmap, and they're the same. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Yep. The funny side note of that, we mentioned it on the show before because we were super excited when it came out, and this is a Unity podcast. So, but it's funny because last year, the keynote, when Obina and Zach and I were there, the funny thing that closed the keynote was this, like, we guys, you know, we're going to be really transparent, and we want to show you stuff that we're just working on. And we had this thing that might not work and might never be in Unity, but it's called this director thing.
Yes.
And it just, guys, don't even worry about it. It's probably, we're going to throw it away
never
tomorrow.
Gonna make it.
It's not even going to work right now, but we'll just show it to you. And they showed us the most amazing sequencer of animation and video and music. And everybody, it had a standing ovation in the keynote. And then it's funny to see that, oh, that's now on the little third segment of the roadmap. Because they're like, yes. I think people like that now.
Yeah, in fact, if you saw the unveiling of the blacksmith demo, at GDC, Joachim was actually scrubbing the timeline of the director project on stage, which no one really knew. But the
entire—I didn't realize that. Right,
I saw him
either, scrubbing it, but I didn't realize it was in the director. Wow!
Right, so that entire project was all done with the director project.
That is crazy.
That can't come soon enough. And, we love that.
That's going to be amazing.
The chances of success at Unite last year of that demo working like you just described was slim.
Right.
Before the show, they were working feverishly through the night trying to get it to work. It just kept crashing, crashing, crashing. Minutes before they got on stage, it was still crashing. He was speaking completely honestly when he said, I don't know if this is going to work or not. And then afterwards, it was all these high fives, like, I can't believe it got all the way through. Holy shit.
And that's what he's like. He's like, hell, it's like when he got to the end of it, he's like, you guys are cheering the most for something that might never be in Unity. And I was like,
right.
That statement brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah, I was like, no, this is the best thing. We want this now.
I think at the time I was developing a...
Zach and I both were a video switching program, yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
On mobile, it's just crazy. So
that solves all of our problems right now. So
yeah.
Can't come soon enough. Well, cool, man. Cool, man.
We have our entire Montreal team. Well, pretty much the entire Montreal team is working on director.
Nice. You have a whole team on it. That's even better.
Yes.
Well, cool, man. Yeah.
Before we go, I have one more, I guess, a personal question. I was playing around with the new UNET today, the Unity Networking Code. Have you had a chance to play with that?
Yes, just a bit. I actually got an updated video about 20 minutes before we started this podcast of, hey, some more stuff to look at from UNET. I haven't seen this video, but I've definitely seen some stuff before.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I spent about probably about 30 minutes, and I had two devices. I was running a server on an iPad, iPad Air 2, and I had a iPhone hooked up to it with a just a cylinder with a small directional a cube, so I could see which direction I was facing, and then I had also my computer hooked up. So it took me about 30 minutes to make that.
Oh, you're running a server from the iPad?
Yeah.
Cool. That's really
right.
That's really awesome.
Right. Yeah. I hope it goes without saying that we absolutely love what Unity is doing. You know, development wise, you know, with the engines going, you know, the direction it's going, and just of course the community that you guys are building, and we just want to help out in that I guess arena is to help continue to build the community. Continue to get the word out about how great this Unity engine is and how it can do so much stuff, especially with things like, you know, directors, you know, on the horizon. So, you know, so that's what we just want to thank you for, you know, meeting with us, talking with us, and talking with our listeners and letting them hear, you know, your side of the story, how you're working with Unity and how you're working with other developers and studios to, you know, really get them engaged with the engine. So thank you, you know, from sincere thank you from the bottom absolutely. Of our hearts.
And thank you not only to Mark, I want to thank you, to thank Unity for making such an incredible software that makes all our lives better.
Eduardo has a tear down his eye now.
He's like, you're changing my life.
you guys want to hear a story?
Absolutely.
I've only written one email to our John, our newer CEO. I've written a few to David Helgeson, but never anything to John yet. But I went to a road show in Las Vegas about 2 months ago and taught the class. Just everything went fine. Didn't think anything of it when I left. And then exactly 3 weeks later, I went to the SoCal VR meetup, or it was more than a meetup, it was a full-on convention that Christopher Kane and Dylan Watkins put on, and I guess some other people too, but they had like 1,000 people show up. Anyway, this guy drove over from Vegas. I had to do a panel discussion, so it was like an hour of us and three of us sitting on a panel and just kind of having a little conversation like we're having now. And I just recognized this one guy in the audience. I'm like, I know that guy. And his eyes were huge and he was just all giddy. He was a little bit older and just, you know, super enthusiastic. And afterwards, the dude came up and told me that he came to the workshop, had never used Unity before, had never done anything like that before, decided at the end of the day that he was tired of his job of 18 years of programming. He went in the next morning, quit, recruited a guy that he works with to also quit, who had some money. They started a game studio. 3 weeks later, he's got a prototype running. They're looking for some people. And his wife told me, his wife was standing next to him. She said, he lost 17 pounds. And it's not because of anything bad. He's just so excited about using Unity. He's running on his treadmill while he's watching Unity videos on YouTube. I've never seen him do that. He's not eating all the junk food. He's just using Unity. Holy cow.
That is crazy.
Now, you know, okay,
I got to changes write. People's and lives.
Totally changes dude's life. Like, man, almost brought a tear to my eye. I'm like, damn, dude, really? Just from a workshop?
Awesome. I'm that good.
And that's why you said earlier before that, like, the fact that now this year, you guys, everything's free, but, the, you know, that model makes it kind of fundamentally different. It makes it much more... Like when you're out there evangelizing and we're out here talking about this, we don't get money from sales, so it doesn't even matter. But like it becomes a thing that it's about something much more. It's about game development. It's about an art form. It's about something much more than just, well, this is this engine and this is this kind of skew of whatever other engine you're using. It becomes something bigger than that and something that can, you know, affect people. And it gives people the tools to change their life. So it's really cool. And so,
yep, I agree. Yeah, whoever came up with the idea that until you make $100,000, we don't want a penny is, I think that's brilliant. When you're successful, you know, throw us $1,500 and I couldn't think of a more fairer deal. You know, it's awesome. And you know, I hope everyone knows that all that money just goes into making Unity better. You know, it all goes into reinvesting. And shoot, I think we're hiring 250 people. In the next 12 months, well, probably about the next 9 months now. 3 months ago, we got all that approved to hire that many headcount.
Calm down, Avina.
San Francisco and Seattle are going gangbusters. San Francisco, we just moved into a new office 6 months ago, and this is our fourth office in San Francisco, and they're already trying to find a new office. Copenhagen, they just secured some crazy historical awesome building in Copenhagen for that team, and they're expanding their development team there. It's man, we're just as John says, man, we want to do the hard work so that you guys can do the fun stuff of making games, and we need some people to do that. So
yeah, very cool.
Lots of open job recs.
Yeah, people should definitely check that out. And it's so cool that, I mean, I think all of us found Unity. It feels like so much more of a personal way because it wasn't some hype world. Unity's the biggest thing ever. We just kind of, I mean, probably each of us like 3 or 4 years ago. And you're like, oh, this is neat. I'll start messing with this. And I thought, this is what I'm working with. I don't know if anybody else is, you know, and then you start discovering the community and we all came to work together because we found a job. I think we were all equally surprised that we live in Atlanta. We're in Atlanta, Georgia. And we go, oh, there's a job that Unity, I've been using that, not in work. And I haven't been doing a job at Unity at all, but we all found, you know, this is a job that described needed developers that use Unity. So it's been fun to discover this community with everybody else. So we look forward to doing more of that going into the future.
Right.
Shoot, the first, well, that's awesome. Shoot, that's, you know what? Everyone, it never gets old. Everyone says it, and I love it. It just never gets old. It's the best community of any software or anything I can imagine. I never have people complaining. It's the weirdest thing. I used to always have people complaining. Now no one's complaining.
It makes your job easier now.
I should mention, shoot, my first 7 years of my career at Softimage was actually in the King and Queen chess piece buildings in Atlanta, the top of the perimeter.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah, my girlfriend worked there.
We just talked about that building today. Amina.
We did. Oh, Alan. Yeah, Alan worked there.
Yeah, that's, we have another the guy that runs the Unity meetup group here works. Yeah.
That's a great building. Shoot, Microsoft owned us back then, right? Right when I joined, Microsoft had just bought Softimage. And so, shoot, for 6 years, I was 6, 7 years, whatever it was reporting to the Microsoft office there, which is pretty cool. Now it's out in Alpharetta, which is where we had the workshop. And then, shoot, they're such a good partner now.
It's where I used to live.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, before we go tonight, what's the best way to get in contact with you? People want to follow along, or where you're doing a roadshow, or...
My number's 310. No.
Keep going. Okay. They'll text you anytime. They can ask you a Unity question, right? They can text you.
Phone numbers. The best way to get a hold of me is you can email me, marks@unity3d.com. You can Twitter me at Unity3D. Unity3D Mark S is my Twitter. Yeah, that's probably the best ways.
Cool. Excellent. Well, awesome. Man,
as I mentioned at the very, very beginning, sometimes it does take a few days for me to get back to you on email. So
you're a busy guy, we know.
Well, I'm a busy guy, just overwhelmed with email.
Yeah. Well, man, we can't wait to look forward to saying hi to you in Boston. That'll be cool.
Yes, that'll be great.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to it. It's the highlight of the rest of the year.
Yeah, we'll go out and grab some beers or something.
Yeah.
I think that is given.
All right, man. Well, like Abina said, we can't thank you enough for coming on. This has been really great.
This is really fun for me too, the guys. Thank you.
All right, cool, man. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too.
You too.
All right, that was Mark Schonagel, a Unity evangelist at Unity, of course. That was an awesome interview, right, guys?
That was amazing. Oh, yeah, it was great talking to him. And he was pretty funny too. And it was interesting that we found out that he was the teddy bear story from last Unite.
My mind. I felt so bad for a second. I was like, oh, how do we know? I mean, we're just getting him back into this community, but we loved his like performance or, you know, skits that he did last year, the awards. And when he said, yeah, I was the guy that MC'd those, like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, it's always cool to like put a name to a face or a face to a name.
A voice.
Yeah. A voice to a name, I guess. Yeah, because...
We're getting more obscure now.
It's cool. So, yeah, like, when we go to Unite and people are meeting us and they hear see our face and then hear the voice, like, oh, so that's Zach, that smoldering...
Yeah. Stop, you're going to make me blush.
Yeah, I mean, like, when we publish the picture of the four of us in the lunch, up in lunch...
Speaking of, I hated that.
Of the audience guys said, oh, it's good to put some faces in the voices.
I didn't like that picture of me. I look like a black dot. And I was like, really, Eduardo? I look like a straight shadow. Oh, man.
All right. Well, if you want to join in this camaraderie, this is a segue. We just launched, as you're listening to this, a new Facebook group. It's a private Facebook group. You know, it's for the privileged. Not really. It's for anybody that wants to join. All you got to do is go to our website and subscribe to our newsletter, which everybody who's subscribed so far, we had about 50 people. They all got sent invites. I know because of me and I went through each one manually. We had to do each one of them. Go ahead.
I know. It's not just a newsletter. You got to give it the official name at Andrew when you're talking about.
Sorry. It's the Loop. Yeah. The Loop. That's another programming joke, you know, like the Wraith. Just kidding. Anyway, it's the Loop.
Please explain.
It's the Loop. Yeah, I never went into that, did I, in that episode?
No.
It's the Loop issue number 0. And we're going to start doing that once a month. And we're going to feature an episode each month that, you know, might be a good one to start with if you're just getting into us. We're going to talk about the extracurricular activities, which we'll get to in a second. And then we also talk about just the fun things going on. And this week we did feature the Debug Lounge, and basically just a quick rundown. The Debug Lounge is going to be a private group. And the reason we wanted to start a group is because it's a place, unlike the normal page, it's a place where everybody can contribute equally, not just us, everybody. So we're really looking for people to ask questions in there. I think we're going to start running theme days like Screenshot Saturdays or, you know, Promote Your Game Wednesdays or whatever it is. We'll think about it. We'll talk about it. Try to get some plugin makers and third party developers to give us some codes for some giveaways so we can run do fun contests. So it's really cool. It's private because you kind of, we want to, it's anybody can get in, like I said, but it also keeps, you know, spam from getting into it and stuff. So we're really looking forward to that. This is kind of going to be the hangout going forward for us. Of course, we're going to update all of our social medias and all the other places, but it's the one place that we all can, you know, talk in equal setting. So yes. The Debug Lounge, subscribe to The Loop to get it, to get access.
Yeah. And if you're a person that likes more official or professional social networks, we also have a group in LinkedIn with our name, the name of the podcast, The Debug Log. So you can go and subscribe in that group too. And we will be posting the same things. Maybe not at the same level of Facebook. The Debug Lounge is more casual. But just for you to know, another source of learning and tutorials.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, it's
up in your face.
For sure. And speaking of what we put in that first issue of The Loop, we were talking about
Some fun stuff.
So the one thing that we really want to, we're excited about is the Debug League, which is going to be our fantasy football league.
They make those noises, but these guys have been nerding out for the past
week. We have been nerding out, and we're not ashamed of it at all. So I think we talked about it maybe in a previous, maybe our Getting Started episode.
No,
maybe
we did one that. Of our tests. That was a test. Nobody's heard that.
So what we've been talking about getting started with this fantasy football and getting you guys involved, and I think it'll be really cool and really fun for everyone to, you know, participate. We have like we set up a 12 team league right now, so we just are waiting for people to just, you know, join the league. We're gonna make it really fun. You're gonna do like weekly videos and skits and stuff, and so it's gonna be really fun. So join.
Join in. We have 8 slots left. Get them while they last.
Right.
Get some urgency in the people. Come on.
Yeah, yes.
They're going to fill up.
Yeah, and you don't need to know how to play. I don't know how to play, so and I'm playing.
Exactly. So. Yeah, you don't even have to be
7 slots left, actually. Hurry up. See, they're going out right now.
It's funny. Yeah, so it should be really, really fun. So I encourage you to just email us at thedebuglog@gmail.com, and we'll send you an invite when you get that.
Yeah, and that real quick thing, we talked about in that test episode and we haven't done it. Fantasy football, it's pretty much just another game for nerds. So if you guys are game developers, you're not into football or whatever, if you like playing games of stats or RPGs and you want to do something fun and get involved with the community, just try it. It's actually fun. Abina's been doing it for like 3 years and I've been doing it for 2 years. And I wasn't a huge NFL fan before that, but now I kind of am more, but it's just super fun. It's just like a real life game in a lot of ways. So give it a try.
For sure.
So if they want to reach out to us, Zach, how can they reach out to us also?
Well, as always, they can reach out to us on Facebook or on our email, which is thedebuglog@gmail.com. And we have a couple other ones, right?
We have our Twitters and our Facebooks and our...
All the huge...
Yeah, all the
Weeblers use, and our,
it's all on the website.
So. When you start making up ones. And our gamer.
On our MySpace.
And hopefully we'll start doing some stuff on Twitch soon.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. All fun stuff. Yeah, we have a lot of plans for a lot of fun things. So hours of enjoyment and entertainment for you guys. So
that will be my area of expertise right there. Mm-hmm.
And for the last thing, I'm going to say one more thing. We've already hit them with 7 things in this, and they're like, geez, guys, end the episode. Again, you know, it's countdown. 6 more weeks until Boston unites. So, again, we're going to try to get together. If any listeners of the show want to get together at a bar or whatever, just contact us, and we'll start organizing that, because there'll be 4 of us there.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yes. So, do that. Fun. So, all right. Well, until next time, my name's Andrew.
I'm Obina.
I'm Zach.
I'm Eduardo.
Keep on debugging.
All right.
Keep on that in there. I was like, everybody, who's here to try the Oculus? And everybody's like, baby.
And everybody's quiet.
And I asked you, and you go, no. And then I was like, what have you tried? So what's tried the Oculus?
Everybody was like, what have you tried it? Let's set it up. Oh, man.
That's funny. Good times.
Man. Good times. He said, good I'm time. From Cuba, remember? All right, sorry.
That's why we love you, John. All right.
The debug log.
So are we supposed to be recording?
Yeah, no. Jesus Christ.